Sunday Meditation, September 5th, 2004.
We've talked a lot today about change, physical change in our circumstances, moving to a new residence, emotional change, finding out a lot more about our deeper selves, spiritual change, learning to experience the world around us in new ways, on new levels. And we know that the Earth is going through a lot of change also, and as beings on a path of service, we would like to know how best we can serve Earth as she's going through her change.
We are those of the principle known to you as Akul. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this day. It is a great privilege to be called to your circle, and we thank you so much for this privilege and for the beauty of your souls as they sit in meditation. Truly, you create a beautiful tabernacle made of your light and your seeking and your hope for the truth. And we are so happy to share our service with you, which is to share our thoughts. It is for this reason that we are in contact with instruments such as this one. And we do hope to be able to offer some opinion that may have some benefit in your own process. But in order for us to have the freedom to share these opinions, we would ask that you carefully guard the gateway of your own perception and do not allow any of our thoughts to enter those gates. If they do not pass the very most careful discrimination of your own senses, listen for resonance. And when you feel that resonance in those thoughts that we share, then we welcome your working with those thoughts as may please you. But please, if there is no resonance there, if it has no feeling of being a personal memory that has somehow been reawakened, then please pass by those things that we say, for they are not yours and missed their mark and need to be left behind without a second thought. If you will all agree to do this mentally, then we will be free to speak with you without infringing upon your free will and your right to work as you need to for your own acceleration of the process of spiritual evolution. For that is indeed what you are about this day, choosing to move a little bit faster along that infinite line that moves from the Creator to the Creator, from the Alpha of the beginning of this octave of creation to its end. All comes from that great potential that is the infinite Creator at rest. And all moves eventually back into the rest and the joy of ultimate unity. And in between, there are worlds and worlds to explore. And the self is the Creator in all of those distorted ways of viewing the segmented or fractured creation. As one falls through illusion after illusion after illusion to come to this precious moment, this illusion, this time together, this learning crux. As the one known as T.S. Eliot said, this still point where the dance is. You ask this day concerning how each of you may be of service to the Earth as it moves through its own changes, its own transformation, its own new life. For indeed, there is a birth occurring in the world, in the earth, in each soul that walks this earth at this time. the very life that you live is a transformation. It is nothing more nor less. And whether or not you choose to cooperate with this transformative process, it shall occur. For it is the very warp and woof of the tapestry of your life. It is your reason for being here. You came to learn as well as to serve. Or perhaps we should put it the other way around. You came to serve, but also you came to learn. It is impossible to look at one without looking at the other. They are like the x-axis and the y-axis of the grid upon which your tapestry is sewn, stitch by stitch, color by color, and texture by texture. This is your life, and you do have the power to create that life. This is at the heart of your question, for it is what the earth itself is doing. It is creating new life. It is creating from its womb, from that womb of space and time and process, that inevitable transformation that comes when one cycle ends and another begins. This is an appropriate and a just process. It is going remarkably well concerning the difficulties that your planet has been dealing with in terms of the harmony of its peoples and what that is doing to the harmony of this process of birthing that your Earth is going through. Examine quickly the conversation as it went about your circle this day, the kind of challenges and new events that are occurring in the lives of each within the circle. These are not simple changes, nor are they all on one level. There are multiple levels and great subtleties in the complexities of each of these patterns as you are exploring who you are, as this instrument is very fond of asking, and why you are here. These two questions are questions that she has asked several people recently in working through mutually discussed issues, and certainly it is a double question that she prays about in her own process each and every day, asking for focus, asking for the guidance of spirit on who she is and why she is here. For these things do not occur in a sequential process and then become finished with. These are not questions you can finish answering within the confines of your present incarnation. The changes, the transformations will continue. Certainly not relentlessly moment by moment, but cyclically, so that there will be seasons of starting, the feeling of starting new seeds, the seasons of fertilizing them and growing them, seasons of enjoying the abundance of full summer and watching the blooming and the amazing growth, and then seasons of reaping and harvesting and separating the wheat from the chaff. There are also those very difficult seasons of emotional inner winter when waiting and patience are the watchwords and where the pattern is not yet clear. And all of these seasons are those that will occur not in any tidy order, but certainly in cycles that vary depending upon how open each entity is to change and how skilled each entity is in discerning pattern from noise and organization from chaos. Much of the seeming richness of detail in most change is not pattern, but noise. It does not add to the process often to enumerate detail by detail by detail the outward appearance of a process of change that one is moving through. Often it is a more skillful approach to rest and sit with the apparent chaos of a new situation, not asking for order at all, but being willing to sit in that winter's patience with that which has not yet manifested, with those patterns which have not yet come clear. There is no rush. There is no hurry. There is plenty of time. For change can happen in an instant, in a heartbeat, in a moment's time. But it is waiting for that moment that takes the skill and the patience. Those moments will burst upon you. And realization will occur. Suddenly, you will begin to see into the kingdom of the present moment in a way that you were not previously able to do. It cannot be coaxed forward. It cannot be produced on demand. It only comes when there is a surrender to that process, a surrender that says, I don't care how long this process takes. In for a penny, in for a pound. I am here. I feel this is the right place for me to be. And I am content to sit here with this for the rest of my life, if that's what it takes for this pattern to resolve. There is tremendous love and faith in that surrender. And there is courage in the ability to persevere in the waiting, in the asking, and in the knowing by faith alone that meanwhile, despite all apparent difficulties, all truly is well. Your earth, left to itself, would be fine. It would be going through this process with ease and rhythm. And indeed, the heart of the earth is healthy and is attempting to do so, to follow its nature, to follow the signals of time and space and its own process. It is having difficulties because of generation upon generation and empire upon empire, which holds the values of fear, possession, aggression, conquering, and the willingness to pursue ends regardless of the means for the sake of the result. These disharmonies have produced a tremendous burden among the peoples of the earth who have experienced fear and anger and all of the harvest of a warlike and predatory culture. From the beginnings of your recorded history, millennium upon millennium, your peoples have seemingly deepened their bias towards hasty and aggressive solutions to the differences of opinion betwixt those who were created as brothers and sisters of one flesh, one blood, one family. This has translated itself into the earth itself as an increasing imbalance that generates a good deal of subterranean heat in the planet and creates an increasingly unbalanced energy situation, which results in tremendously extreme violences of nature, such as the hurricanes that you now are experiencing and the volcanoes which are now erupting upon your planet's surface at this time. As long as there is pain inflicted upon innocent school children, as has happened recently in your Chechnya, these energies will keep deriving themselves deeper into the earth and tending to constrict and make difficult the labor pangs of Gaia, Mother Earth. When groups such as nations and terrorist groups are in the news and washing through the media-driven culture of a great portion of the global surface, it may seem relatively improbable that individuals or small groups of people could make a difference in this picture. And yet, we assure you that groups such as your own have long made a difference in this developing picture. It is not a new thing for groups to come together in order to generate unconditional love. The history of religions is rife with examples of groups who have been inspired so to get together, and yet in many, many cases these groups have been co-opted by less than the highest and best interests of those groups of people, and the energies of elitism and exclusion and divisions have crept into the unconditional love and compromised the light coming from these groups. Yet somehow, in spite of all the resistance of an increasingly unloving surface culture, there stems from the very heart and soul of each human its divine nature. The very nature of each of you is love. You're made of it. When there is a lack of that on the surface, you crave it. You hunger for it. You yearn for it. And you know, somehow, that it is there. In the darkest prison, in the darkest night, in the deepest dark night of the soul, the spark of hope cannot be stamped out, because your very heart is a lighthouse, and it will relight, if you allow it, the slightest bit of silence, the tiniest room to be who it is. How much time have you spent today simply allowing yourself to be? Do you realize that this bare allowance of the self to be is that food which the mother of your flesh needs from you? It is being. It cannot help wearing its heart on its sleeve. It has been abused. But it beats strongly, that heart of nature. And it must be itself. It has no choice. It exists without illusion. And though it is deeply wounded and greatly and increasingly suspicious of that human energy which wishes to help. Nevertheless, it cannot help reacting to, responding to, authentic being. It sees you as you really are, not as a collection of bones and flesh and muscle and gristle, not in the sense of a collection of words and poses and attitudes, but in the sense of that texture and color and form, that sense in which you are a blooming flower or a work of art, that sense of you as an essence, as an aroma in the nose of the Creator. You do not know how sweet you are, how beautifully your odor mingles with the truth of the odors of each other entity within this room to create a bouquet that we cannot describe in its beauty. Each of you shines like the gems that you are. How can you know this when you are in the midst of the illusion in which you cannot see the gems of your soul, your heart? You can only see the vainglory of flesh, the markers of eyes and nose and mouth and form. That which you see about you is, quite specifically, that which is the least real. That which you cannot grasp, cannot know, that which is lost in mystery, is the realest thing about you. What a backwards world it is for one who wishes to pin everything down. And yet, your incarnation here is not about pinning things down. Your incarnation here is about learning to dance, learning to sing, learning to move in the rhythms that have no words, but that move in harmony with every living thing in your world, starting with the air, the earth, the fire and the water, moving through every created plant and animal, through yourselves and through those beings that exist without form, that are those within the inner planes, that are also part of the creation. It is one great dance and one great song. You have heard of the music of the spheres. And this is not a myth. This is the way things are in the world of what this instrument would call time-space, which coexists and interpenetrates the consensus reality illusion that you now enjoy. For each thing that you see, there are a million things that are interpenetrating that illusion, that have more and more and more metaphysical substance. And you are not without the ability to begin to swim in and know these waters of spirit. You have within you great depths of ability to penetrate illusion and to begin to pick up the essence and the heart of the unseen mysteries that you seek, for you are an embodiment of these mysteries. You carry with you, as in a hologram, the one infinite creator. Certainly, that essence is well protected. There are gates which one must pass through in order to become more deeply and truly aware of the essence of self and the increasing revelation of the Creator within. And there are lions that guard the gates to the temple that is your inner self. And occasionally you will be challenged. This is part of the process of transformation. It is a necessity for entities who are moving through transformation to have markers for these changes. And so when there is an initiation, so-called, these initiations will have a certain form, and symbols will come to you, such as the hawks and the eagles of which you were speaking earlier. The symbols may be beast or bird or plant or words, street signs or chance heard snatches of conversation that simply connect into your process synchronistically. It is impossible to know ahead of time what these markers of transformation will be. But when they come to you, note them and realize that you are on the right track. These processes are moving forward, and no matter how dislocated you may feel in these movements that sometimes are swift, yet your feet are on the right track, and you are moving well and with honor and dignity. When you come to those moments in which you are being yourself, those moments when you are tabernacling within your own sacred space, know that each moment you spend there is a direct and immediate help to the planet, which is your mother, in terms of your flesh and bone. The more that you can dwell in this awareness, the more your very being will be of service to Gaia. More than that, when you rise from your contemplation, meditation, or whatever form of silence you have chosen as your own frame for being, we encourage you to lean into carrying that light with you as you go about the work of the day, whatever that may be. This instrument was talking earlier about how she is able to feel earth energy and has been aware of the liveness of the earth from her earliest memory. Becoming more and more aware of how earth energy feels is a very helpful thing for the earth as well as for you. That earth energy is, mechanically speaking, that medium through which the infinite love and light of the one infinite creator moves through the soles of your feet up into your body. It rushes up from the soles of the feet right into the red ray, and directly from there, sequentially through each chakra of the energy body. And when you are functioning well as an energy body, your chakras are balanced and open. Full energy is moving through into the heart, and that heart is staying open no matter what hits it, so that the output, no matter how difficult your catalyst may be, is an output of love and joy and peace. This is the energy that is coming into your physical vehicle and into your emotional and mental and spiritual vehicles as well. You can shape the way that you receive the catalyst that comes to you. By how you choose to work with the energy body in responding to that catalyst. It is the most sensible and understandable thing in the world to react to incoming perceptions of anger and insult and difficulty by constricting and contracting the energy of the self in defensive and protective ways. Oftentimes, habits of defense and protection begin very early in one's incarnation as a response to the disharmonious experiences within the Earth family, the birth family. We correct this instrument. That birth family may well have been chosen partially because of the disharmony within its system. For this sets up the arena for a lesson of incarnational level, whether it be patience, the learning to love without expectation of return, or any of the other incarnational lessons that each of you may be working with during this time around, shall we say. As habits begun early are repeated, the shell around them may harden, so that it is seemingly at first very difficult to interrupt the habitual contraction around fear. There is no way to eliminate fear, for the incoming catalyst of any entity, no matter how well protected by wealth or circumstance or privilege, will contain those situations which produce fear. Fear is inevitable. The occasion for fear, shall we say, is inevitable. However, those who have spoken words of inspiration throughout the ages have shown over and over again that the reaction to conditions which would suggest fear need not be fearful. Such reactions can be loving under the most brutal circumstances, whether they be Holocaust, imprisonment, or any other oppressiveness and adversity. Prison cannot bind the free spirit. Prison is only a place. The spirit is a citizen of eternity, and it can call from its larger self that knowledge of freedom and flight and rightness that the world cannot know. This willingness to explore the letting go of fear is a tremendous key in this process of transformation. What the Earth is going through is precisely what each of you are going through in a much smaller scale. For the Earth, a process taking approximately 76,000 of your years is coming to an end. The cosmic clock, shall we say, is striking the hour. And indeed, a new hour has begun upon your planet at this time. It is having difficulty establishing itself. The labor is long and difficult. But it is going much better than expected. Because at the, what this instrument would call the grassroots level, person by person, household by household, community by community, the choice is being made to embrace love and to practice a life that shines that love forth as best as those people, families, and groups can muster the wisdom and the strength to allow. Indeed, it is more a matter of allowing the self to cooperate with the energies about it than to frame this process as reaching for new things. The new things are here. The new things are occurring all about you. It is a matter of allowing those new things to sift in through the cracks and crannies of the outer, still very strong, consensus reality of your old earth, that which this instrument tends to call the third density earth. The fourth density earth is at least as real in the unseen or inner planes as third density, and it is getting stronger all the time. Entities have talked a good deal about the increasing movements, the literal movements of household and so forth, and it is understandable that every single thing in one's life would come up at this time to be questioned and perhaps to be changed. For it is in microcosm that which is occurring to the earth, and you are part of that system much more inextricably and organically than you realize. You are a crop that the earth has produced, as much as the roses or the elms or the birds or the animals. Your process of spiritual evolution is a crop that you have at this time the chance to fertilize and encourage, and most of all, to allow. When you can open your heart and let go of the mental noise surrounding the details of your life, you are allowing the sunshine and the rain to come in and help your growth. When you can shut down for a bit of time the endless conversations that take place in the cast of thousands that live within that kingdom between your ears, and just rest in the kingdom of the creation. Instead of that spiky back and forth energy of the what this instrument would call the monkey mind, there comes into being that wonderful kingdom that is the creation. And it is a land of harmony that is in infinite movement, swaying and dancing and singing a song. The more authentically you can sing your song, the more freely you can feel your energies dancing with the energies of all those about you and the earth itself, the closer that you are to being that you came to be. You did not come here to find answers. You came here to participate in the dance, to be yourself. And as you dance and as you sing, to find ever more balanced ways to serve and to learn. We thank you for asking this question, and wish to say that our hearts are full of gratitude for the courage that you have as entities. Gazing upon a world that seemingly makes little sense at this time. Thank you for seeking ways to love and to serve the one infinite creator. That wonderful entity which you call the earth or Gaia, and each other as souls who have embarked together upon this journey around the sun in the spaceship of earth, shall we say. It is well done of you to come to this moment and to ask for truth. Know that day by day and realization by realization, you shall express more truth than you can ever know, for it shall come through you as light and beauty and love. Let those things roll through you and bless them as they go, knowing that you shall make many mistakes, but that you can never make a mistake if you are attempting to allow the love and the light of the one infinite creator to flow through you, unhindered by fear and blessed by your intention. We are with you in attempting to share our love and our light. And you give us great joy as we are able to offer our service to you, which is to share our very humble and imperfect thoughts. We would ask at this point if there are any queries that come out of this initial discussion, or any queries at all. Is there a query at this time? We are those at Mkua.
Hi, Quo. I have a question, and I'm not sure how to articulate it. And I know we've talked before about wants and desires as opposed to authentic needs. And, you know, this, I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, I felt like that I had all these wants and desires, and I got to experience that, and 2 weeks later I kind of feel empty. And I guess I'd just like for you to speak about, you know, the difference. I guess what I'm asking you is desire, an empty hole that just can't be filled compared to authentic need.
We are those of Quo and are aware of your query, my sister. We say hello to you, the one known as Janet. It is our great pleasure to touch into your energy. The query that you ask is a subtle one, and there is not a simple answer. For desire is not a fixed value. Desire is a For desire is not a fixed value. Desire is a custom designed value. A desire can come from many different levels of being. There are very natural desires that stem from the kind of physical vehicle which you now enjoy. The instincts of the physical body are perfectly natural and perfectly understandable. The desire for the life itself, the desire for survival, the desire for sexual expression, these things are at the very heart of the driving power of incarnation. Consequently, it cannot be said in any way that those instinctual desires, including the sexual desires, are lesser than any other level of desire. And yet, certainly the instinctual desires are not the ending of desire at all, but the beginning, that which allows the life to proceed and sets the stage for much more subtle and complex forms of desire to arise. In a way, there is no moment without desire. It cannot be gotten rid of, because the very physical vehicle that you enjoy has a constant desire to survive. And every breath that you take is as the result of a desire for a continuation of that existence. Every pulse of the heart is an affirmative vote for desire to live. It is impossible in this body that you enjoy, that pulses and breathes and has many cycles of natural need, to avoid desire. The mind of your body, not even looking into that spiritual organ which is the consciousness, is in a constant state of desire. It is in a constant state of looking for the next thing and thinking about the last thing. It is in constant motion. The spiritual vehicle as well, while not restless and desiring in that way, is resting in a steady heartbeat of creative and what this instrument would call godly, sacred desire to progress in its journey back towards its source and the ceasing of motion. You dwell in a sea which can be described as desire. It is the choice of what you desire and the level at which you desire it that crafts the difference between empty desire and fulfilling, spiritually healthy, creative desire. If one looks, for instance, at the tangle of discussion that you have shared with the one known as Carla and this group concerning various aspects of this question, it can be seen that in looking at freeing the red ray energy and freeing that fundamental healthy flow of the creative energy into the energy body, there is certainly a place for opening up those areas of that energy which were restricted by past abuse and difficulty with sexual expression. And yet, if it stops at the opening of the energy without moving into questions of where this open energy might go, how it might be furthered, where it goes next in the energy body and how that works, then it shall be empty. For repetition of sheer red ray desire and satisfaction of that desire are indeed an endless dropping of energy into a hole, because that energy is a natural function and needs to be expressed again and again. It cannot be expressed once and then put to rest, although entities have found it helpful to do so under specialized conditions where they were using the restraint from an open expression of sexuality as a marker for cleansing, purifying, and enhancing the spiritual growth of the whole organism that is your mind, body, and spirit. When the energy stops at body work, then the mind and the spirit have not yet been reckoned with. And the mind and the spirit also have great hopes and desires for being themselves. The more you work with moving through the chakra system, the more you see that this open red ray energy moves into the opening of the orange ray energy, which then moves into the opening of the yellow ray energy, and so forth. So that the energy moving up into the heart is whole and has not been hindered by fear at any of these three lower places. When energy is able to move up into the heart in full strength, then the whole world of higher chakra work begins to open up. It is very wise of the one known as Janet and the one known as Tabby to investigate the opening up of red ray sexuality, because it is the foundation for so much more sacred work. Yet the hunger remains for an expression that is sacred, an expression that has deeper meaning and higher purpose. There is that opening of the heart and that realization that each entity whom one meets is the creator. There is then the opening of the heart to serving the creator in each entity, and most of all, in one's mate, so that it comes full circle back to the sacredness of red ray, seen in the fullness of a system of living out that sacredness that is felt within the heart. When desire has been disciplined and focused, it is the most powerful force in creation. It is that energy that moves the mountain. It is that energy that creates miracles. And it becomes more and more closely allied with those mysterious words of faith and will. A great deal of time has been spent in each of your incarnations on trying to determine what it is that you seek, who it is that you are, what it is that you truly desire. These are wonderful energies. These are defining energies for you. These are key questions. And we greatly encourage this whole line of discussion and exploration. May we answer you further, my sister.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you, Paul. It's good to have you back.
My sister, it is good to have you back also. Is there a further query at this time?
Not for me.
I have a question for Tabby. I think I might have got it by some things you just said. And I guess as far as the week that I had in California, where I was a little hung up, is they taught that not one person can sustain you sexually. Therefore, monogamy was not of importance. And I've had issue with that. I don't know if that's right. Is that wrong?
We are aware of your query, my sister, and we are those of Kuol. We shall attempt to answer, but this particular query lies very close to the surface of your own process, and so there is a limit to that which we can say without breaking the trust which you give us not to infringe upon your own free will. We give this instrument the image of a necklace of many jewels. Such is the experience of one who opens herself to many lovers. Each gem is lovely and beautiful of its own kind. And the variety is dazzling and certainly most invigorating when one has been constricted by the moral fear and torpor of an unthinking and unquestioning and blind obedience to some moral code. These restraints and constraints that are placed from without have no value to the spiritual growth of an individual. Consider then the beauty of a single perfect stone that is hung upon a beautiful golden chain. It is not of all the colors. It does not have that variety. It has been chosen because out of all of the jewels that are possible to be had, this one gem has touched the heart, enlivened the soul, opened the heart to the possibilities of devotion, fidelity, and the value of leaving behind the world of manyness and exploring the world of absolute value. How dangerous it may seem to commit the self to one shining gem. It may indeed be a costly choice. It may well be that that one gem does not touch all of the possible ramifications of beauty that are possible to be recorded and appreciated by that incredibly sensitive instrument that is you as a person, as a mind-body-spirit complex, as the one known as Carla tends to call it. And yet, that choice opens the door to a higher way, a way which can be endlessly refined. It is difficult to be of service to a whole necklace full of entities, for each has its beauty, its flaws, its ways of relating, and its ways of resisting. Each is a conundrum, a mystery, with which one can only offer one's own conundrum, one's own mystery. Each in that varied and beautiful necklace could take up all of your attention, and you would not be bored, nor would you stop learning. Yet you have not the time to investigate deeply the many gems of this wonderful necklace. And so you look at the beautiful colors and you see the variety and you enjoy this particular piece of jewelry that you have chosen as a way in which you honor and love the one infinite creator. Yet there is a restlessness there because there is not the ability to dive deep into the waters of another human soul. There is not the possibility of exploring how one may be devoted to the soul and the heart of another, not the appearance or the surface behavior. Those things will often challenge and puzzle any entity attempting to love. But that they are those things that allow one to do deep work and to take the time to move more and more deeply into that house of mirrors that is the relationship between the self and the other self. It is a question of moving horizontally and learning a little bit about a lot, or moving vertically, going high, going deep, and learning in a different way about the self and about how to serve. Neither way is incorrect. Both ways are full of learning. It is a choice as to how you wish to express your own being and to direct your own considerable energies. May we answer you further, my sister? Is there another query at this time?
Of course. First, it's wonderful to hear your voice again. I'd just like to ask, is there any suggestions or advice that you can offer in terms of how I can enhance my meditation, my connection and communication with my higher self, and improve integration with daily life?
We are those at Akuo and are aware of your query, my brother. Again, we do not wish to interfere with the learn teaching process of the one known as Tim, but we believe that we may suggest just one thing, and that would be that as the one known as Tim has such great sensitivity to sound, and more specifically to the many sounds of water, and that this entity find ways to link times of silence and the sensual experience of listening to water and experiencing water, whether that would be a walk along the water, a seat beside a splashing pond, or simply the soundtrack of the water that the one known as Tim might choose to use in times of silence. This particular element is very helpful to the one known as Tim, as we are only confirming to one who has already created music in the key of water. Consequently, we simply encourage the one known as Tim to continue in linking himself with that wonderful element and the naiads that dance about any expression of that magical substance which is water. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, thank you very much, Kuo.
Oh, we thank you too, my brother. We are those of Kuo and would ask for a final query at this time, if there is one. We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. And we find that there is little that we may say to the one known as Fiona at this time, except that all is well. It is sometimes, as this instrument was saying earlier in an email to a friend, silly, seemingly, to say that all is well, to say that it's okay or it's all right. This instrument was saying what people say, and yet how intelligent is it to look at something that is causing difficulty and say, it's okay. And yet, we would say that patterns often do not look okay for periods of time, and yet energies are in motion that shall become a good pattern, a helpful pattern, and a pattern in which the one known as Fiona may thrive. And we simply would offer her this comfort if it will create within the one known as Fiona any feeling of rest and peace. We thank this instrument and this group for this opportunity and the beauty of these moments together. We leave each of you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of Ukul. Adonai. Adonai.